The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
You know, God is on the move. Amen. Is he not? God is moving in this nation today and around the world. Before I get going, there's a word I have for someone. And this is very specific. This week, as I was getting kind of ready for my message, God gave me a word for a person or two. Now, you have been, this individual or individuals, you have been struggling. God has asked you to do something that is very difficult for you to do. It's an act of obedience. And you've been struggling with this for some time. I'm going to tell you a story on how one of my struggles. So I was at a men's breakfast. And now at this point in time, I was going through a divorce. My attorney bills were just piling up left and right. And I was invited to go to a men's breakfast. And as I'm sitting there, this man came up to me who I did not even know, came up to me and said, God put it on my heart to give you something. And so he went into his office and he came back out. He had a check in his hand. It was folded. And he gave me the check and I put it in my pocket. I didn't even look at it. And so I took that check and I went home and I never even looked at it. I took it out of my pocket when I got home. I put it in my desk drawer and I said, Lord, does this belong to you? And he said, no. I mean, does this belong to me? He says, no. He says, I want you to give it to the first person who asks you for it. So that night I was at a meeting and nobody asked me for it. The next morning I went to church and I'm talking to some people I know who had some ministries in the church. And I was waiting for somebody to ask me for this money. So I thought to myself, I better find out how much it is. So before I went into the church doors, actually, I opened up the check, and it was for $5,000. And I just got an invoice from my attorney for $5,000. Now I'm thinking, well, this could be used for that. But the Lord said, give it to the first person who asks. So during the service was going through, and about 10 minutes before the service is done, I'm thinking, I skated that one. I'll take this money back. I'll put it in the bank, right? Our pastor gets up on the platform and says, somebody here can give $5,000. Right. So out of obedience, I went to the pastor of the service, took the check, signed it over to him, and gave it to him. 2 weeks later, my attorney bill for almost $50,000 was forgiven by my attorney. Not only that, a week after that, my doctor, at the doctor's office. He goes, you know, Jim, he said, I'm just going to completely forgive your bill. Wow. A doctor forgave my bill. It was amazing. Do you have 1 Samuel 15:22 up on the ready to go? We have that here. And while we're doing this, I'll tell you one more story, and then we're going to get going on revival, because I'm excited about revival. You guys excited about revival? This is going to help that one person who, or one or two people who need to make this decision. As some of you guys know, I'm a real estate agent. I do this full-time for a living, and I'd gotten a commission check, and I realized that my commission check was a little bit high. And so I did the math, and I noticed it was about 10% high. So as I'm looking at it, the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to give that back. What? I want to give that back. It's $800, by the way. $800 is nothing to sneeze at. So I said, okay. So I went into the accountant's office, and I said, talked to my accountants, and I said, hey, I received my check. I said, however, it's 10% too high. And we did the math, and I said, you know, she goes, well, you know what, Jim, that's okay. It's been processed through. Nobody said a word. Just keep it. And I said, no, I can't. This is not my money. I need to give it back. The other accountant in the office stood up, and he said, who are you? And only you would do this. And so I told him, I said, we'll have another closing in a couple days. Just take the money out of that. So that's what happened. I had another closing. They took the $800 out of that, and that was good. 2 days later, I get a phone call. And this guy says, I want to see this house on Sunday afternoon after church. So I went and showed him after church. Mom and dad showed up. Grandma and grandpa showed up. Aunt and uncle showed up. And the kids all showed up. And for 3 hours, we walked through this house. 3 hours. Finally, at the end, the father said to me, hey, Jim, I'd like to make an offer on this house. So I went over to their place, I wrote the offer up, And I went and submitted the offer. The offer was submitted. It was the smoothest transaction I have ever had in real estate, period. Yeah. When I went to the closing and I got my check was almost $40,000. The reason why I say that is this. The Lord told me to give back the $800 that didn't belong to me, and he was testing my heart. He was testing my heart. Would I obey him? 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Now has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice." Obedience. So that word is for somebody. If you've been struggling with this, I hope this helps you. Because God has something for you. He's not trying to take something away from you. Okay? It's a blessing for you. All right, I'm going to try something new for a little bit. I do have a backup. I'm an old-timer guy, and I like paper. But I said, I'm going to try doing my word on my iPhone. So we pray that it works. All right. So Ezekiel 47, we'll have that put up here for just a minute. As Pastor Dave said, revival has been on my heart for quite a while. 5 years ago, four and a half, five years ago, I was scheduled to preach down in Owatonna, Minnesota at our mother church. And the Lord said, I want you to preach on revival. I have revival coming to that church. So right before I was going to that church, the night before, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord said to me, as clear as a bell, that I am sending a tsunami-sized revival to your church. So, man, I was excited. I started doing research on a tsunami. I knew it was a big wave, but I didn't really understand what a tsunami was. And how does a tsunami form? Well, a tsunami, and I'll just give you a quick little lesson. In order for a tsunami to form, there's got to be like an earthquake under the ocean, which causes the plates of the earth to move. There's got to be a shift in the move, which causes the water to be displaced, which means there's this huge wave. And so this huge wave now has got to go somewhere. But there was an eruption. There was something that disturbed the bottom of the ocean. And I was thinking about that and praying about that. And the Lord is saying there was a disturbance in the spiritual realm. And regardless of your political affiliation, when President Trump got elected, there was a disturbance in the political realm. Something caused a spiritual shift. And we're starting to see the rumblings of it. It's not bad. It's good. Okay, the media wants to say one thing, but I'm not going there. So I went down to Owatonna, and I began to preach on revival. The Lord had given me, some of you may have heard this, and I'm sorry if it's a repeat, but I just have to lay a foundation. The Lord had given me several dreams. One dream was a dry riverbed. I was standing in this dry riverbed, and it looks like at one time the riverbed was really river was really powerful. You could see how it would flow. You could see how high the banks were. And as I'm standing there, I look up to the north, and I see a couple other individuals in the riverbank about a couple hundred yards away. As I'm standing there, I heard this loud noise, really loud noise. And so I looked up, and I saw a wall, what I thought to be a dust cloud coming my way. You ever see those desert dust storms that come where you see how they just billow? It's kind of what it looked like. But then I realized it wasn't dust. I realized it was water. And I realized it was just churning and moving and coming with great power. So as I'm watching this great, powerful river come, the two individuals that were in front of me decided to get out of the river. And as the water was coming, things were being thrown from the river. Logs and debris and filth. Everything was just being displaced and thrown out of the river. And so I said, well, I better get out. Time for me to go. And the Lord said, no, you stay right there. And I'm like, huh? No, you stay right there. And you guys, this is powerful. This is the sound of water rushing is amazing. So out of obedience, I just stood right there. And all of a sudden, I cringed like this, and the water went whoosh right over me. And as it went by, I just stood there in this crystal clear water, and I looked down on the bottom of the river. It was like jewels, like rubies and gold and things like this shining in the bottom of the river. And what God was saying, all those logs, the debris that was flying out, God says, I have a move of God coming that's going to take all of that sin, all of that debris, all of that hurt, all of that unforgiveness, he says, I'm removing it. I'm removing it. You know, I mentioned that song, God is on the move. There's a song in my spirit that goes, God is on the move, hallelujah. Remember that song? God is on the move, you guys. God is bringing revival to our country. And I don't know why, but God has put it on my back. I feel like it's on my shoulders. And I have to give the word out. Everybody get ready, because God's bringing revival, and it's starting. You know, a tsunami wave just isn't one wave. There's several waves before the tsunami comes. There's smaller waves. And what we're starting to see is one of those smaller waves come. And I'm going to get into that a little bit further, but I got to get going here. So, it wasn't long after I gave that word about the tsunami revival, probably 2 weeks after that, my pastor called me and says, Jim, did you see Sid Roth's, the Supernatural show that Sid Roth does? He goes, did you hear the word that she gave? Do y'all know who Cindy Jacobs is? She said to Sid Roth, God is sending a tsunami-sized revival. And it brought, I tell you what, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for the confirmation. But it brought confirmation. So when I was down in Otana preaching on revival, I was telling another story I had where this friend of mine, his name is Vaughn, he went home to be with the Lord now, but he told me, he said, you know, Jimmy, he said, I saw you and I driving on this river, and we're on a jet ski, and we were just having all kinds of fun. You were driving, and I was on the back. But as we were going up and down the river, I noticed there wasn't anybody else on the river. Nobody else. He said, I could see people on the shoreline having a lunch. And there was one small pontoon that just floated by, but nobody else. You could see there was boats, and there was paddles and oars laying on the sides of the river. And he said, but nobody was in the river except for you and I. She said, all of a sudden, you came to a stop. And you said, come on, let's go. And you jumped in head first. And the Lord said to him, go ahead, follow him. And he sat there, not knowing what to do. He didn't know if he should jump in the river or not. And he just stood there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came on him. And he said, oh, what the heck, and jumped in. And then he woke up. This river that's coming, you guys, is one full of healing. It's full of restoration. I heard a lot of things about restoration today. Revival is restoration. Amen. Revival is restoration. And we're going to get into a little more of that here in a little bit. But I just wanted to kind of give you a foundation of what's kind of going on. Revival to me has been stirring in my spirit. And there was a moment here a few years ago that God asked me to do something that I'm not used to doing. He said, I want you to go to Princeton, and I want you to preach there. So for 12 weeks, we had a small group every Monday night. We had about 25 to 30 people. Anybody go there? Was anybody ever there? You were there? Dave was there? So for 12 weeks, I was scheduled to be there for 12 weeks, and we ended up going on for 27 weeks. We had stories, and I mean stories of healing. I'm going to give you a few. A woman came into the meeting, and Lord gave me a word of knowledge for a woman who had issues with her left knee. And so she immediately raised her hand. And she said, 3.5 years ago, I was in a motorcycle accident. And she said, my knee was like that of a swollen like a volleyball. I couldn't move it. So for the next 3.5 years, the way she slept, she'd go home, she'd take a pain pill, and she'd put a pillow between her knees. That's the only way she could sleep with comfort for 3.5 years. So we prayed for her, we laid hands on her. The next Monday night, she came into the meeting. She just made a V-line from the door to me, right to me. And she said, oh my gosh, I got to tell you what God did. She said, when I left this meeting, she said, I didn't feel anything when you prayed for me. But when I got home, I did my normal routine. I took my pain pill and I put the pillow between my legs to sleep. But she goes, I woke up in the middle of the night and my legs were hurting. So I took the pillow out and the pain went away. And she did this for a couple more nights. And then she realized that God had healed her. So then she stopped taking her pain medication. She didn't have no more pain medication, no more pillow. She slept perfectly and God healed the ligaments in her knee. Isn't that awesome? Had another young man who came to our meetings, and this was so fun. This is what revival is about, you guys, about restoring. He had just lost his job. And so his name is Rob, and Rob come up, and I had a word for somebody. I said, I don't know who you are. I said, but God is going to give you your dream job, and it's going to be online. And I had no idea what that meant. So the next Monday night, Rob came to me, and he said, I got to tell you this, Jim. He said, I went home, and I turned on my computer on. I just felt like I needed to turn my computer on because it was like late 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. He said, there was a message on Facebook for me. And I clicked on the message, and here was a message from a person who I did not know. She said, I've heard about you, and I've heard about your skills, and I'd like to interview you for a job. So they scheduled the time to meet. He went in for the interview, and he got the job. And he said, Jim, it was my dream job. It's what I've been wanting to do all of my life. Your word was perfect. This would happen every night. Every Monday night, we'd have some kind of healing or miraculous word. I had a pastor, a retired pastor. You remember Pastor Brown up here? So Pastor Brown came to one of our meetings. He's in his wheelchair, and he said, you know, I said, I had this word. I said, who here is struggling with clarity of mind? And he raised his hand. He said, Jim, he said, for the last number of years, he says, I've woken up in the morning with fogginess in my mind. I can't think right. I can't organize a thought, and it's really hindering my ability to live my life. So we as a group prayed for him. He called Rich the next morning, who was hosting the meetings. And he said to Rich, would you please call Jim and tell him that for the first time in so many years, I was able to wake up in the morning and actually think a thought and actually organize my thoughts and think about my day. He goes, I haven't been able to do this for years. Glory to God, huh? Isn't that awesome? Amen. We had stories how a young man who was a steel worker, how he came to the meeting. I had a word about somebody's shoulders and forearms being very, very much in pain. And he raised his hand. He told me he was a steel worker. I laid hands on him. God instantly hit him right there in the spot. He said just warm rush went right over the top of him. It's amazing. Those are the kind of things that we actually dubbed the name of that show up there, the God Storm on the Prairie or something like that. It was pretty awesome. I had a chance to go down to Florida for a conference. And while I was down there, I met a gentleman by the name of John Fitzpatrick. He was the pastor of Brownsville Church in Florida. Anybody hear that? Okay, what a great guy. And anyways, John was talking about the revival that happened down in Brownsville. And he started talking about how the revival started. And so the revival started within him and then worked within his leadership. He called his leadership together and said, we need to get ready. God is about to do something. And so as a group, as a leadership group, they began to repent to one another for anything that they have against each other. And this went on for a couple of weeks. And then John was saying, you know, God had us put together this great big building, but I have an orchestra pit, but I don't have an orchestra. And God began to bring one person at a time. You know what's interesting about revival? This I did not put in my other notes. And I really pray to God I'm here. One of the very first key elements about revival is repentance. The Bible refers to as breaking up the fallow ground, laying our hearts exposed and naked before the eyes of glory to search and to cleanse us. I really believe that when I was standing in that dry creek bed, that the power of the Holy Spirit came through intentionally to cleanse my heart and to purify me inside. And that's what part of this revival is all about. It's about bringing the Holy Spirit and laying our hearts flat out before God and repenting and getting clean before him. My small group, love my small group. There are so many of us here today. Raise your hands if you're my small group. They're all here. Thank God. We've been talking about revival in our small group. And we've been praying for revival in our small group. And one of the things I always tell everybody in my small group, his small group, I'm just kind of managing it, is that you're here today to be prepared for what's coming. It's not about Jim Shealy. It's not about my gifts or my anointings. It's about you. This is a training ground for you. Because when this revival hits, and it's starting to come, and I'm going to give you some more information, your gifts and your talents are going to be needed. You're going to need to be, you're the ones in the front lines who are going to have to stand up and step up. And when that person who's hurting walks through the door and the Holy Spirit says, go pray, you know how to pray. We see, we have a woman in our, I'm telling you what, how old is Helen? How old is Helen? How much? What is it? 81? Helen, I'm getting numbers here. So Helen is an amazing woman. I just love Helen. She's like a mom to our group. And so my heart is I want everybody to, if you get a word of knowledge or a prophetic word for somebody, I want you to feel free to go ahead and say something. Because it's a place of freedom. It's a place to practice. You know, and that's what we do. We want to grow. We want to grow the gifting in people. And so Helen said that her shoulder was hurting. And so the Lord gave me a word for bursitis. So she walked up the stairs. And all of a sudden she goes, oh my gosh, my shoulder's healed. And she just started doing these things, which she could not do when she came in. And it started a roll of testimonies. And I started to hear the people in our group, and it started to like a chain reaction. And this may have happened over a couple of different groups, but I intentionally brought some of my people from my small group here because I want you to hear what God's doing in their lives. And the first person I'm going to have come up is Cynthia. Cynthia Doherty. Cynthia, when I first met her, she was, I would call a newbie.
Pre-Christian.
Very pre-Christian. But she had a heart for the things of God. Does this work? Will this work? Okay. So Cynthia started to dig in about healing. And I knew she had a healing anointing on her life. And she's just went after it. And she's going to tell you just a little bit about what she's experienced over the last couple of years and what God's doing in her life. And the enemy tried to take her out here not long ago, but God restored her life. So just fill us a little bit in, but
when the word that I had received today was the least of us, and I am one of the least of us in my ability to pray every day, the least of us in my ability to read the word every day. I don't do that. I desire to do that. I try harder every day than I did the day before, right? But there's sometimes I go to bed and I wake up the next morning, I'll go, oh, I forgot yesterday, right? So that doesn't mean that God doesn't love me, right? Does not mean that God doesn't love me. And one of the things that I desired was our church to be, as revival came, that we had the prayer of faith for healing. And I started a small group because if I want to study the Bible or study a series, I might end up falling asleep, right? So I had to start a small group so that I had other people that I had to be committed to in order to go through this and understand it and learn it and practice it. And it really was absolutely wonderful.
Tell us there about the hospital.
Many times. We started praying as a group together, as individuals together. The first one was my processor. Her sister was in the hospital. They didn't know what was wrong. She wasn't being responsive, wasn't getting up. They couldn't wake her up. And I and one of the members of the group went and we prayed for her. And within 15 seconds, she's awake, needs to go to the bathroom. Right? I mean, it was just amazing, and their family had kind of turned away from the Lord, and now they're just coming back with fire. It's just amazing. I mean, it's an opening. Amen.
This is revival, you guys. This is what true revival is. Steve, I'm going to have Steve come up. Thank you, Cynthia.
Yeah, thanks.
Steve Clayton is our head usher. He and I had the privilege of going to India together. I won't tell you that story because it's kind of fun, but I won't tell you that story. But what's amazing about Steve is that ever since he's been coming to our small group, I have noticed this spirit of boldness come on him. He's like a lion. And it doesn't really matter who it is. He's going to tell somebody about Jesus. And I started hearing stories about friends and relatives getting saved. And then he said a story about...
I'm an employee at a grocery store and going to work Friday before Good Friday. So it's a busy day. And the power's out. So there's the problem. In the grocery store, power's out. All the refrigeration's down. Anyways, I see the director of the company there, which is unusual because of the situation, and a very concerned look on his face. And then I found out through other people talking that they're going to close the store for 2 days, not open until Sunday. Really unusual for us. So we have a huge problem, and then they're canceling, calling people not to come in. No work for people. That means they're not going to get paid. And I'm about an hour later after taking product off the shelf to get it into a coolers and get in reefer trucks. About an hour and a half later, I said, something's not right. And I hear annoying, do something about it. And I'm there, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm not an electrician. I don't know anything about refrigeration. I just know to stack cans, you know. So I quickly walked to the general manager of that store. He has the authority of that store. And I says, I have a sense that I'm supposed to go upstairs and pray with the technicians over the situation. And this guy is new to that store. I only know him for 4 months, barely know him. Do it! Like that. And that's all he said. And I'm thinking, that was it. I'm there. Oh, okay. And now I don't know what to do further. So I go upstairs. And I go up there and I see these two technicians. One's a big guy. One's a little guy. And I went up there. Do you know the power agreement with Jesus Christ? And they look at each other like, uh-oh, here's a cuckoo. You know? And then I says, just agree with me in prayer. And then so I give recognition to God, the Almighty Sovereign God. Then I give recognition to the owner of the business and his compassion and his service to the community. And then I give wisdom to the workers through prayer and through Jesus. And then I rebuke the hindrance that was at the power there. And then there's one other thing. I left as quick as possible, I guess. And, so... Instantly, by the time I got back downstairs, the lights come back on, and I'm there, well, thank you, Jesus, you know. But the compressors didn't come on for another day. Oh, yeah, the other part, I says, bless his business, have no loss. And so when you're down, and we were down, our compressors were down, all the refrigeration, all the coolers, a grocery store is all coolers all around. All the coolers were emptied. And completely empty because they recruited from all the stores. And then, so the lights come back on by about 8:30. And by 1 o'clock, we had all the coolers empty because the compressors weren't on. And by the compressors come on at 1 o'clock, and we filled the coolers back up. By 4 o'clock, the store is up and running, and there was very little minute, like a little bump in the road in sales. The sales were just like as projected. It wasn't a loss.
Amen. So even in the world, we're called to go out and do something. We're called to go out and speak God's word and speak God's glory even in the world, because that's how the world finds out about Jesus. It was amazing. Didn't you pray for him once as well, or were you praying?
Mm-hmm. He stands next to me wherever I go.
Awesome. Where's Steve Gore? Steve here? Little Gore? Steve, come on up. So you know, Steve, for his little stature, I don't mean to...
You were going to say something.
Okay.
You took my joke.
That's okay.
I was going to say, can you see me now?
So... For quite some time, the Lord had been giving me several words for him that he needs to step up. God's going to use him in preaching and teaching. And so one day, the Lord gave me a word that says, you know, I want him to lead the group this night. And when I called him, he says, that's a confirmation. The Lord stepped up. But the very first thing that came out of his mouth was that he was going to speak on the love of God. Was that what it?
Yeah.
Or the name of Jesus?
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. So You know, he's been coming a while, and although he's got a power, a quiet power about him, is that when he goes into the community, where he goes and talks to somebody, there's a confidence and there's an anointing on him. And just talk a little bit about how God's changed your heart or whatever it might be since you've been hanging out with us.
All right, now you can see me better. When I got saved a long, long time ago, I was a Jesus freak, one of the original Jesus freaks in my hometown. And God took me from being a guy who was afraid of a shadow to somebody who would kick your butt if you tried to mess with me or my family. I was bullied a lot. And then after I got saved, people quit picking on me. And I started to realize that, why are people treating me differently? And I was like, my mom goes, well, you don't take no guff anymore from anybody. You even tell your brother to shut up and or you'll knock him down. And then the Lord, I'm sorry, but the Lord, like he said, the Lord has given me confidence. And I was preaching the name of Jesus that one night, and he was like, why? I said, well, it's the name above all names. Without the name of Jesus, there would be no revival. Without the name of Jesus, we wouldn't be saved. So, and once revival comes, we need to be sheep with teeth. Seriously. We need to remember we have the shield of the Spirit in this hand and the sword of the Spirit in this hand. The shield of faith, I mean, and the shield and the sword together. Defensive, offensive. And we need to fight to keep that revival. Because if you don't fight, you're just going to get knocked out and down for the count, maybe. You know, we just need to be, I don't care how small you are or how tall you are.
Thanks.
God's all called us to be warriors.
I love Steve. It's awesome. Where are my Iversons at? Where are the Iversons at?
They had to go.
Oh, they had to leave?
Yeah.
Okay. But as you can see, you know, we're preparing for revival. We study revival. You know, one of the things about revival that God's been teaching me is about the cohesiveness within the leadership. And the Lord's just stopping right now, Dave, and he's just saying, I was here about a year and a half ago, the last time I was here, and the Lord, you said, I was totally prepared to preach in something else. I had this whole other message, and the Lord said, and Dave came in to me and says, nope, you got to preach what's in you. Preach within you. What's in you? And I'm like, okay. Deer in a headlight look, right? This is my message over here. On the way up to church, Steve, you like this. On the way up a year and a half ago, God gave me a vision of this church expanding to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west, and up. And when we were praying, when we were in the prayer room this morning, I saw a hard hat on your head, and I saw a tool belt around your waist. And then Steve came in and said also that he said he saw they were praying, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God brought expansion. Started talking about expansion. I already believe the word is God is preparing you and your leadership for expansion. I was telling Angelique this the other night, you know, God's given them all this beautiful land for the kingdom of God. And we're going to see expansion here. I'm excited to see expansion. You know, Bob, God brought you here years ago with the idea that one day this place is going to expand greatly. And this is going to be like a center hub of the glory of God. And people are going to come from all around the world and all around the nations to see what's going on here. And you are the founder. That is a privilege and an honor to be able to stand here and to be able to speak this prophetic word over your church, something that God put on your heart years ago. I just want to thank you. So revival's all about restoration. We had words here today about God restoring things back. You know, we are the children of God, and we have an inheritance. We are his kids. I'm his son, you're his daughter. Now, what we need to understand is that we have an inheritance. We're supposed to live like the sons and daughters of the Most High God. But somebody said it here, I'm not sure it was, but we have to start thinking about our minds oftentimes block us from that mentality. They block us from thinking that way. And we need to understand that we have the minds of Christ and that we are his children and that we have his inheritance. And when the enemy comes up and says, there's not enough or there's lack, we just need to say, no, My God provides all my needs according to his riches and treasures in heaven. I stayed on that word all the time. That is one of my foundation scriptures of my life. We've got about 10 minutes left here, and I'm just going to kind of finish with this. We talked about revival. We're talking about revival. So 4.5 years ago, God had me down in Owatonna preaching about revival, you know. And then from there, a few things here and a few things there. Just recently, Prophet Undi from South Africa visited our church. And he spent the last week at our church. Now, Prophet Undi is probably the most accurate prophet I've ever met in my life. He can walk up, you know, it's like the Holy One. He walks up to you and he'll tell you what your birthday is. He can tell you what your dog's name is. Just to get your attention that God is trying to talk to you. He's not saying those things to just show off. He's trying to get your attention. Hey, God has a message for you. And so the Friday night service. Angelique wasn't there because she wasn't feeling well. So he walks by me and he goes, "Who's 11-11-17? I said, "Hey, that's my wife's birthday." "Where's your wife?" "She's not here. She's not feeling good." So he prayed for us. 2 days later, she came, and again, he said, "Who's 11-11-17? And prophesied over her. He would call out people's names, their dogs, of their addresses, their phone numbers. It's amazing. Just to get their attention that God is trying to say something to you. So it was on Tuesday evening. And our pastor Dr. Tim Peterson, he had gotten this word he felt from the Holy Spirit that he was supposed to ask Prophet Undi to come back every month for the unseen future to start revival, to help lead revival in. And while they were having lunch on Tuesday afternoon, who all knows Bill Johnson from Redding, California? Bill Johnson sends him a text while they're eating and says this in his text. He said, "Prophet Undi, God has placed revival on my heart." He said, "I can think of no one else to help usher in revival other than you. Can you come to the United States for once a month for the unseen future to help lead revival?" All of the words that God has given me 4.5 years ago, I'm starting to see come into pass. And here's the fun thing for you guys. You guys get to benefit from it. Because God's put revival on my back. Do I know what it looks like yet? Not really. I'm just got a voice. I love revival. I love to see people's hearts be healed. Come on. You know, one of the most needed things in this world, you know, physical healings are great. I love to see physical healings. I pray for people. I see cancer tumors fall off. I've seen broken legs healed. I've seen all kinds of stuff. But in my opinion, the greatest miracle is the healing of the heart. Yeah. And that's what this revival is all about. It's about revealing, it's healing the heart. There are millions of people in our world that have a broken heart. We used to do treasure hunts, and we used to go into Walmart. And the most prominent thing, we'd be praying, and people say, "Well, my heart's this, or my situation is this, or I have pain here, pain there." And it's all about emotional things, emotional pain. But God's bringing restoration and to restore all that. You see, revival means God's going to revive and bring anew again. I did a little research. Because, you know, I've heard people say that, that's never good. Oh, boy. Where's my paper one? You know what? That's the wrong message. Gotta be kidding. Okay. Let's find the paper one because it completely erased my entire message. Huh? Right here. There it is. Thanks, Steve. The Hebrew word for revival. I just wanted to check what the word meant. The Hebrew word for revival means this. It's the word chaya, chayah, to live or to have life, to be quickened, to sustain life, and to live prosperously. That's in the Hebrew. The Greek word is enthalo, meaning I thrive or live again. I thrive or live again. To restore back, and then the word restoration I looked up, to restore back to life, give back, or restore to the original. As I'm sitting here today, I kept hearing the word restore, Pastor Dave. It was a consistent theme. Restore, restore, restore. God is wanting to restore. He sent us here today, I truly believe this, to help lay hands or just to release unto you guys a spirit of revival as a group. Because who's the woman who prayed about your mother lives with you? Who is that? That was you? Can you stand up for a minute? So I saw an old-time washboard that how you used to take your hands and you used to scrub things like that, and then you'd put them through a roll. You got one? Oh, you had one? Okay. Then how it is, and then you would take and you would just feed the article clothing through the wringer to press all the soap and stuff, water out. You're in the midst of, there is this restoration coming to you. In fact, the worst of it's through. The worst of it's done. Because the process of going through the wash to take all the unclean things and then to be rinsed, the Holy Spirit's rinsing you. And then he's going to press you, but he's going to make you clean. He's restoring back to you everything, the time, and this is what it is. It's time. He's restoring back to you the time you've lost. Those things of which the canker has eaten, God says, I'm restoring back to you. You may not be able to see it, but God says he's restoring those things back to you. There's new life. There's new life coming to within your family. You're gonna experience a mini revival in your own home that you're going to take from your own home and take into your communities and your family. But he's restoring back to you time. Time is what God's restoring back to you. And not only that, an abundance of finances that you have nothing to know about. Do you work in a retail outlet? Do you work in a retail or something like that?
Nurse.
You're a nurse? Okay. Who works as a retail? Who works in retail here? Somebody that works in retail. You work in retail? If you work, you work in retail? Can you stand up? Do you mind? Just for a minute? So I saw fingers touching the cashier board. And I heard the Holy Spirit say this. Now, put two of you stood up, so I'm just going to say it's for both of you. That your heart when you go to work is to serve God. When you go into your job, it's you serve God. People say to you that you have the joy of the Lord over you. They make comments to you every once in a while. This is really what you do. This is who you are, because you bring that to people. You bring God's glory to people through your smile, through your spirit. When I saw you touching the keys of the calculator or the cash register, I saw God adding to your life, both of you. I saw God adding things to your life, not just spiritually, but also financially. I saw a promotion. I saw someone coming to you and saying, we need you here. And it's a step up, another step up. So I just release that for both of you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for favor in their jobs. Lord, I thank you, Lord, as they work, in the retail and Lord industry, Lord, that this time of year, Lord, that the glory of God would just shine all over them, Lord, because that's what this season's all about. It's about you. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Who's in the construction industry here? Who does construction? Construction. You, sir? Anybody else? Can you do construction? God is building you a house, sir. God is building you a house. Not only a spiritual house, but a permanent house, but a physical house. God is building you a house. Now, I don't know a whole lot about you. I don't know what's going on. But I just said the Lord said he's building you a house, spiritually first, and then secondary in the natural. That work? Perfect. That's an awesome word. That is really an awesome word. I want a new house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Water. Thank you, Lord. So I have so much more I could share, you guys. I just, you know, we're restricted with our time, and I want to make sure I honor the church with the time. But I'm going to have my small group come up real quick. All my small group, everybody in my small group. And as I mentioned to Pastor Dave, we just want to release the spirit of revival on you. If you want the spirit of revival, to hand you guys, look, stand up to your feet and act like you're receiving something. Because God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in a mighty way. You didn't know I could sing, right? I'm not auditioning for the church choir, by the way.
That was good.
Hallelujah. So, Father, we just extend our hands to this congregation, Lord. It's such a pleasure and an honor to bring the spirit of revival to this church, Lord. You have, Lord, plans of revival. Lord, you have plans of bringing and restoring back to the entire congregation and the community, Lord. Lord, you're the giver of gifts, Father. So, Lord, we just release as a small group, Lord, that spirit of anointing, that revival into them right now in Jesus' name. We extend our hands to them, Lord, because, Lord, we want to see this is the hub of revival for this area. This is the hub. We're going to see signs, miracles, and wonders, Lord. We've already seen it, Father. Lord, we thank you for physical restoration, Lord. Things, physical problems and financial issues in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for financial restoration. Thank you, Jesus. So in Jesus' name, we release it now. And the spirit of boldness, Lord, to go into the community and to release revival into the community. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be here to pray for you guys if you want us to pray for you. One of the things I'm just going to quickly tell you, just got a minute here, Ezekiel 47. Go ahead, go read about Ezekiel 47. God gave me a vision of Ezekiel 47 before I even read it. And I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, that's what you gave me, God. It's revival. It's healing. It's miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastor Dave?
Amen. You know, I just had the thought, what would keep you from standing in the way of a gushing river? Of, you know, it's not natural to stand there. And if we think that we can stand there in our own strength, we cannot. But I believe that there is a hunger that God is stirring in us to stand in this river that wants to cleanse, that wants to wash, that is beyond our abilities. And so my heart is just that we would choose to stand, whatever that looks like. So if you need prayer for anything, these teams can pray for you. We'll have our teams here too. If you just need some encouragement, if you feel like revival is a little, you know, revival is a big subject, and it doesn't look like, this revival is not going to look like the last revival. It will not. So if you've been freaked out about revival in the past, can I just encourage you to ask God what revival is for you personally and say yes? And if there's some folks here that will lay hands on you. If you need healing in your body, if you need some encouragement, if you need strength, the altar is open. There's coffee out in the lobby. Just love on somebody. We believe that the body ministers to the body. Love on somebody. Give somebody a hug. Pray for one another. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.